Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're continuing our lessons tonight on justice. Tonight I'm going to teach on the most common methods of injustice. The most common methods of injustice. Verse number 57. Of Matthew 26. They that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priest and elders and all the council saw false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God, and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure ye, by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, for the privileged desires of teaching it and learning it together on these Wednesday evenings. Bless us tonight in a special way. May we learn to be just. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, we come to this subject I think tonight is very vital. And I pray you to help me as I teach, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You've heard me say again and again and again that the most important attribute about God is His justice. The most important attribute about God is not His love, though God is love. The most important attribute about God is not His grace, though God is gracious. The most important attribute about God is not His mercy, though His mercy endureth forever. The most important attribute about God is God must always be right. God must always be right, because right is being just, and God is always just. God will let everybody in the whole world go to hell before God will be unjust. That's why that it was necessary for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, in order that the justice of God might be satisfied. And if that had not happened, then everybody in the world would have died and gone to hell. God will not be unjust. God will not be wrong. He will not be unjust. Now, if that, follow me carefully now, are we not then to be like Jesus? Are we not told in the Bible to be like Him? All right, then if justice is the most important thing to God, it must be the most important thing for you and me. You see what I'm trying to say? I'm saying after we're saved. If justice is the most important thing to God, then justice should be the most important thing to God's people. Now, justice is simply rightness. That's all. It is doing that which is right to do. Now then, if that be true, now follow me carefully. If justice is the most important thing to God, and if then it's the most important thing for the Christian, then this Bible study we're having now is the most important Bible study that a Christian can have. Because we're taught to be like God in the most important attribute that God possesses. Now, I'm going to give you 12 different things tonight that you and I in this room, most of us, do that is not just. Now, may I say this? I'm not teaching these lessons just so you can think Brother Hiles knows a lot about justice. I'm teaching these lessons so you learn how to be just. It is just as wrong for you to be unjust in your area of justice or responsibility as it is for a judge that sits on the bench to be crooked. Now, let me go back just a bit, because review, but you remember how in the Old Testament days, God told Moses to divide the people into groups. And he said, I want you to choose men, and those men, just men, I want men to be over these groups. And it's their job to judge each man his own group. Remember, some over thousands, some over hundreds, some over fifties, some over tens. Because all people do not carry the same load, and all people cannot take care of as many cases as others. So, God said, this is your area. Now you recall, don't you, that we have said no judge was allowed to judge outside his own area. Now listen carefully, that's the most important thing about these lessons on justice, as far as I know. No judge was allowed to judge outside his own area. Now, God has given you areas of justice or judgment. There are certain areas where you also have areas. A pastor has the responsibility of doing judging in the church. A father has responsibility of doing judging with his family. A mother has responsibility of judging with her children. A Sunday school teacher has responsibility of judging with the Sunday school class. A Christian school teacher has responsibility of judging in the Christian school. Mr. Bush has the responsibility of judging the nation. He's doing it right now, making decisions that will affect all of us. But it's not George Bush's business what goes on in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. You see, it's our job to stay within our own designated areas of judgment and not to judge in somebody else's area. I don't mean just not to judge out loud. We're not supposed to even draw up in our own minds what we would do if we were in that place, because that lends us to be critical of someone in another area. That means it's not your business to judge at my house. It's not my business to judge at your house. It's not my business to judge the junior choir. It's not the junior choir's business to judge the adult choir. It's not Brother Boardway's business to judge the grade school. I'm simply saying you have areas in your life where you are responsible, and God has given those areas to you. Now, we will not have any problems in our human relationships if everybody will stay in the area where he is supposed to judge and not judge outside his own area. Now, let me give you some things. That I'm going to give you 12 things where the most frequent transgressions of justice committed by people like you and like me. Number one, not liking someone. Not liking someone is judging. I don't like him. You're judging. Now, I'm not kidding at all. I'm dead serious about this. It's time God's people became like God. I mean, God would look down and say, I don't like him, but I like him. No, God doesn't do that. And it's not right for anybody, listen to me, in this world, not to like anybody else in this world. In order to do so, you have to judge. If you don't like them, you're judging them. And by the way, you're usually prejudging them without the knowledge of them, which is prejudice or prejudice. That's what prejudice means, prejudging without the knowledge. Now listen, why don't we decide to be Christians? What? I mean, he's just not my cup of tea. But you're not God's cup of tea either. Well, there's something about him I just don't like. You have judged, and God says outside your own area of judgment where you have to do so to keep society operating, it is not your business to judge anybody. So, that's the first one, not liking somebody. Will Rogers made one of the great statements ever made when he said, I never met a man I didn't like. Brother Fisk used to say he never met Brother Hiles either. I'm glad you enjoyed that. I just don't like you. But the truth, look at John chapter 15 and verse 25, please. John chapter 15, verse 25, page 1137. This is about our Lord. I'm going to stay tonight a long time on the false judgment of our Lord. John chapter 15, verse 25. Read it out loud, please. Ready? But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Now this is Jesus. They said that they hated him without a cause. Now you have no right, and I have no right, to not like anybody without a cause. And the truth is, if you say, I just don't like him, you have judged him, and the Bible says that kind of judging is wrong. Now, look, why don't we just decide to be Christians for a while? Why don't we decide to live like the flare of the house? Nobody's perfect. Well, look at it. Look at it. I mean, the fact that you're not perfect doesn't mean you ought to enjoy your imperfection. Jesus did say, be ye therefore perfect, or mature, or full grown, even as my Father in heaven is perfect, mature, and full grown. And the greatest attribute of the Father in heaven is his justice, then why don't you make that your greatest attribute? So that's the first thing. Number two. The second method of injustice most prevalent is this. Listening to one witness. I didn't say, you know, it bothers me a little bit, and I see you kidding about stuff like this. I mean, I'll joke with you a little bit, but when I say listening just to one witness, that's Bible. The truth is, and by the way, much less listening to somebody who hadn't witnessed anything. If Bob O'Clair walked up to me tonight and said, I saw Jim Jorgensen taking a drink of liquor the other night, I would not believe, but I would, in the first place, I wouldn't listen to him after I realized he was trying to criticize Jim Jorgensen. I wouldn't listen to it. But because the Bible says you're not supposed to accept something without two witnesses, and I'll go into that in a few minutes. But if one person says he saw it, I, first place, will not listen to it, and the second place, if he says it before I have a chance to stop him, I will not believe it. What do you say you're going to call Bob O'Clair a liar? Well, Bob O'Clair has been a liar for years. Good, now everybody knows that. No, I'm not going to call Bob O'Clair a liar. I'm going to do what God said. God said, don't receive an accusation without two witnesses. So I'm not going to receive it. But you say that. Now that makes Bob O'Clair, you're insulting Bob O'Clair. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I've got a Bible that says, and I'm going to try to live by it. And my Bible says, I am not supposed to even receive it if one witness. Now, you'll receive it and listen to it if somebody comes up that's not even a witness. They heard so-and-so. And by the way, when somebody comes to you, listen now, you listen, when somebody comes to you, and I'm not trying to get you to help me tonight, I'm trying to help you become a Christian. Listen, if somebody comes up and says to you that they saw something, they heard something, you're supposed to say, don't tell it to me. That's Christianity. Of course, the only part of the Bible you're interested in is thou shalt not kill. I don't watch television, that verse that says that. There's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not watch television. There's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not smoke. There's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not put a stick at your mother in the eyeball of an aspic. Mother-in-law, I mean. Mother, good night. There's no verse in the Bible that says that thou shalt not gamble, though we know it's wrong to gamble, but there is a verse. I said there is a verse that says you're not supposed to receive an accusation except with two witnesses. Now, it doesn't say, but it says receive it. Somebody walks up to you and says, let me tell you what I heard. You're supposed to say, I do not want to hear it. It's bad. Well, you say, Brother Hodge, you can't live like that. Well, you check and see if I don't live like that. Now, you say, I'm not saying I'm perfect in that area. I'm perfect in every other area, but I make a mistake occasionally there. But I am saying this. I'm saying that basically, though sometimes I make a mistake, basically the tenor of my life is that if somebody says, did you hear about so-and-so, an awful thing that happened, unless it is in my area of judgment. Now, follow me carefully. Tonight, I went to my office, barely got back from the airport in time, teacher's meeting. There were some calls to return. One of them was to one of my dear preacher friends. The devil has never attacked the great soul-winning churches in America like he's attacking them right now. The great soul-winning churches of this nation are under the greatest attack of the devil in the history of my ministry of 43 years. If I listed the 10 greatest soul-winning churches in America, the pastor I talked to tonight before I went to teacher meeting, the pastor of one of the 10 greatest soul-winning churches in America, he told me of an awful attack the devil has launched on his church. And my heart's breaking right now because of it. I'm simply saying that one of the great problems is that we fundamental people don't live the Bible. I mean, did you hear so-and-so? No, what is it? Tell them to shut their big blabber mouth. That's Bible. That's Bible. Take your Bibles, open if you would please, to Deuteronomy chapter number 19, verse number 15. Page 238. Well, I got to hurry because there's so many things I've got to say tonight. I may just keep on talking until 10 o'clock. All four of those people will stay with me all the way through, too. Deuteronomy 19:15. One witness shall not rise up against the man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth. Now look at me. What does that mean? That means that if somebody comes and says, I've heard something, listen now, you're supposed to say, if it's bad, I don't want to hear it. You're also supposed to say, before you tell it to me, bring two witnesses. And if there is, but I saw it with my own eyes. Okay, then bring another person and saw it with their own eyes. I'll listen to you. Bible. Look at 1 Timothy, please, chapter 5. Very famous verse 19. We used it all throughout this study. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 19. Page 1277. This is talking about elders, but the same thing is said in chapter 19 of Deuteronomy a little while ago. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now look at me. That word receive means listen to it. All right? If a person comes up and says, did you hear what happened and so-and-so, so-and-so did? I won't tell you what I heard. Are you supposed to listen to it? Yes or no? Yes or no? Well, why do you? Okay, suppose somebody walks up to you and says, let me tell you what I saw Ron Moffitt doing. Is it bad? Yes, it's bad. Then go get somebody else that saw it and bring it back, or I won't listen to it. That's what the Bible says. Now, don't misunderstand me. If it's in your area, you've got to check it out. You see, if you're the judge in that area. For example, I got off the subject a while ago because of my Alzheimer's disease. I mentioned this fellow called a while ago. Now this fellow, he calls me his pastor. He's a great, great preacher, one of the 10 greatest preachers in America. And he calls me his pastor. And he called me tonight and said, I need some advice, need some counsel. Now when he asked me for that counsel and advice, that came into my area. You follow me? Because he asked me for that counsel. Now wait a minute. If somebody walked up to me tonight and told me, I want to tell you what I saw happen in a certain church, I would say, bring me somebody else that saw it. Now, that doesn't mean I'm supposed to believe it because two people saw it. It means I'm supposed to investigate it and listen to it because two people saw it. All right? So, suppose a person comes to you and says, could you hear what the bad thing that's going around about Brother Moffitt? What are you supposed to say? I can't hear it. Well, shut up. If you, I'll punch you in the nose. That'll shut them up. If you're a person of few words. But are you supposed to listen to it, yes or no? Are you supposed to listen to it, yes or no? Are you supposed to listen to it, yes or no? No, you're not. All right? Well, a person comes and says, it's outside your area now. It's not in your Christian schoolroom. It's not in your family. It's not in the church that you pastor. It's not in the city that you're the mayor. It's outside your area of judgment. Then suppose a person comes and says, I saw Brother Moffitt do it. Then what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to listen to him? Yes or no? Supposed to listen to him? Yes or no? No. You say, okay, bring me another person that saw it with you, and I'll not necessarily believe it's true, but at least I will listen to it. You see what I'm trying to say? All right. That means, by the way, follow me carefully. These two witnesses are supposed to come together. These witnesses are supposed to come together and present their accusation together. Not that you hear it, you're on a vacation in North Carolina, hear something, then you come back home and hear something out in South Hammond. That's not it. They come together, and they're both together when they present you. Now, ask the question. Suppose you read something in the newspaper. All right? How many, if it's a witness, how many you got? You got the guy that wrote the article. So you're supposed to read it. So you're supposed to read articles about Jim Baker. Huh? Are you supposed to read articles about Jimmy Swaggart? I have not yet read one article about Jim Baker. I have not yet watched one radio television program or heard one radio program about Jim Baker. Why? Because the only person that I know that says it is the guy in the newspaper, and most of them are... The language I want to use right now is forbidden by God. Now, I was sitting with Dr. John Rice in Fairmont, California, in the Los Angeles area, in a Howard Johnson restaurant eating breakfast. Now, this is where we are. Dr. Rice was reading this book, please. He said, Dr. Hiles, he said, isn't Richie Allen awful? Now, Richie Allen was a baseball player. He used to play Philadelphia Phillies and played for the Chicago White Sox for a while. He said, isn't Richie Allen awful? I said, how do you know? Why, he said, have you read the papers about him? I said, have you read the papers about you? He put his glasses like that and chewed on and looked up. He says, you're preaching to me, son. You read the paper and assume it's true because one guy you never saw, who's probably a liberal, trained in a liberal school, whose job it is to dig up smut and manure, and you believe it is true because the newspaper says it. All right? I said the first thing, that the big injustice, and I know about you now and me, our first big injustice is not liking someone. I said our second big injustice is listening to just one witness. Number three, listening to two who are not witnesses. Didn't say if two or more have heard something, receive it. It said if two or more have witnessed it, receive it. Not receive it as true, receive it as the Supreme Court would take a case, and they say we'll take the case, we'll investigate it, and then we'll hand down the decision later. But you're not supposed to take the case if two people come who are not witnesses. Number four, telling others what one witness tells you. Telling others what one witness tells you. Now you listen to me. God in heaven is holding us account for what we say about people. Why is it? And I wish you wouldn't laugh at this. This is what destroying more churches than all the liquor and all the dope put together. I'm serious about this. I'm saying you are not supposed to pass on stuff that is bad. Not supposed to do it. Number five, having an opinion because of what one witness says. Number six, believing two witnesses. I saw it, so did I see it. I still don't believe it. Now, I now am supposed to receive it, but I'm not supposed to believe it. I'm supposed to check it. Turn to Matthew chapter 26, verse 59. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 59. We were there a while ago. Let's go back there again. Page 1039. Now the chief priest, verse 59, Matthew 26. Now the chief priest and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus. Now look at me. Anytime anybody goes to looking for witnesses, it's wrong. All right? They sought false witness against Jesus through death, but found none. What does it mean? There's some people there that love to be paid off, but they wouldn't do it against Jesus. They found none. Verse 60 again. They found none, yet though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. All right, as I said to the night. If two witnesses make something true, then these guys were okay, and Jesus were guilty. No, these are false witnesses. I want to say it again. I've emphasized it again and again. I want to say it again. The fact that two people say they saw something doesn't make it true. Man, I've seen people lie about stuff like that, lie about what they saw, and then there's some people don't know what they saw. All right? Now then, what does that mean? I'm saying that believing two witnesses. Now, what are you supposed to do then when two witnesses come and they say, I saw this? That, then you listen to it. Then you investigate it. But you're not supposed to investigate. Now, I'm teaching Bible here. You're not supposed to receive it if just one witness says it. You're not supposed to receive it if somebody says, I heard it. All right? The next number. Investigating without two witnesses. Well, I heard something. I'm going to check it out. That's wrong. I heard something. I'm going to spread it. I heard that Jesus died for sinners and anybody that trusts him could go to heaven when they die. I heard that and I'm going to spread it. Brother, if every preacher in America would spend the same amount of energy getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ as is being spent tonight across this country trying to destroy each other, we'd get this country won for Jesus Christ. I mean, the same preachers that will spread and listen, I'm talking to you, that will spread and spread and spread rot and filth will criticize a church that over gets overexcited about spreading the fact that Christ died for sinners. So, I'm not supposed to investigate without two witnesses. I told you story after story after story after story of times when people have said to me, I saw something, and I'll say, trot your second witness out before I even listen to it. Over and over again. One of my dearest friends down in Texas, one of the great preachers in Texas, is in some kind of trouble. I don't know what it is. I preached for him dozens of times in years gone by. He's a man not quite as old as I am, but nearly. He's in the same bracket. But something happened about 5 years ago. And everybody seems to think I know what happened. I don't know what happened, and I don't want to know what happened. And sometimes people say to me, too bad about the so-and-so. And I say, I don't know what happened. Well, this is it. I don't want to hear it. Well, I don't want to hear the truth. Have you got any scripture we can discuss? Have you got a good testimony about a soul you seem to say we can discuss? Well, you said, how? That's against human nature. That's exactly what this Bible is. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. Well, how about this perfect? We'll work at it. And don't be happy because you're not. And don't resign yourself to imperfection. Next number. Seeking witnesses are seeking the two witnesses. Brother, Martha. You heard something about Brother Vogel. Of course, the whole church has heard it. But you heard something about Brother Vogel. You come to me and just tell me.
Preacher, all right. How you doing?
Fine. Glad to see you.
Good to see you too.
How's old JoJo?
Oh, she's doing great.
That's your dog, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. She's going to talk when you get home tonight. I think
she's howling right now. Huh?
Well, that's it.
Preacher, I was just trying to mention something. I happened to see Tom Vogel doing something yesterday.
Okay.
And I feel like you need to know this.
Okay. Now, Brother Moffitt, I don't want to know what it is. I'll tell you what we'll do, Brother Moffitt.
We'll check around and we'll investigate and see if anybody else is. Now, Brother Eau Claire, Brother Moffitt says that he heard, saw Brother Tom Vogel do something Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it.
We'll keep on checking. Well, let's see, Brother Jorgensen, did you see Brother Tom Vogel do something bad?
No, but I heard about it.
You heard about it?
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep on checking then. Brother Hooker? Word is that Tom Vogel, Brother Knopfler said he saw somebody, and the Bible says you folks have two witnesses, and I'm looking for another one. Did you see him do anything wrong?
No, sir.
Okay. Now, what I'm doing right there is as wicked as the devil, and I'm scriptural. The Bible says that two witnesses come to you. This is the world of investigation. One of the great tragedies of our day is this journalistic investigating. The average reporter is nothing more than a second-class detective. What he ought to do is get out there and find out if Mrs. Jones' grandmother's come for a visit for Thanksgiving and put it in the paper. But if Mrs. Jones' grandmother doesn't have four men with her that she's living with part-time, each one of them, they won't put it in the paper. And don't you criticize the paper because you're as guilty as they are. Only difference in you is you have been hired with the newspaper. But your telephone is just as hot as that newspaper is. And your tongue is just as hot as that newspaper is. Now the truth is, we're not supposed to seek witnesses. Even the two. They come to us. Next number. The sin of making the decision, then seeking for proof. Look at Matthew 26, verse 4. Matthew 26 and verse 4. And consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Now look at Luke, if you would, please, chapter 22 and verse 4. Page 1107. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how they might betray him unto them. But look at me. They had already decided they're going to kill Jesus. Now they've got to figure out some way to do it legally. But you see, the decision was made of what to do. Already settled, and they're only interested in finding a reason why they could do what they're going to do anyway. And that's wrong. I'm going to make a statement right here. I was for Pete Rose. Still am. And I was pulling for Jim Baker in his trial. And I'm pulling for the mayor of Washington right now in his trial. You know why? Because I'm pulling for innocence. I'm cheering for innocence. I'm hoping that everybody that's accused is not guilty. How about you? Did you pull for Jim Baker in his trial? Were you hoping that somehow he'd be proved innocent? Now, I happen not to be a charismatic. There's not one drop of charismatic blood in my veins. And I wouldn't give you a dime for the whole charismatic movement. I think it's the end time satanic religion. I said it, didn't I? But Jim Baker is a fellow human being. I did not know if he was guilty or innocent. But I was pulling and hoping that somehow they'd find out the fellow was innocent. Why? He's a human being. Who are you pulling for? How about the mayor of Washington? What's his name? I forgot his name. Barry? Barry? Barry. You pulling for him? Huh? You hoping he's innocent? I am. I hope every time I hear of a case anywhere, I cheer for innocence. Now, I don't cheer for the guilty being acquitted, but I cheer that somehow they'll find, I hope under God that they'll find out that mayor of Washington was smoking grapevine.
You're too dumb to know what I'm talking about. If you use city slickers. But we smoking coffee or something. But I hope so. And if tonight they proved he were innocent, I'd be thrilled to death. How about you? I cheer for innocence, not guilt. I'm saying, you said, Brother House, if a judge did that, he's crooked. And if you do it, you're crooked. There's somebody you just don't like. And somebody that you'd like to see bad happen to, so you decide already what you want to happen to them, and then you've got to go investigate so you can figure out, be justified in giving the punishment that you've already consigned to them before you started your investigation. Turn to Luke 19:47. Boy, this is good. Page 1104. And he taught daily in the temple. Now get this, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Let me take that little word sought. What it means is this. It means, and I'm quoting, a plot by inquiry of his worst enemies. A plot by inquiring from his worst enemies. The people now in the country trying to destroy me. Now, they're not trying to find out the truth. They've already decided that they consigned me to hell. Now, who are they checking with? Are they asking Dr. Evans what he believes? Are they asking Brother Lapina? Brother Young? No. Asking Brother Colston? Asking Brother Goldway? No. They're checking. They want, if they call somebody and check with them, if they find out they're my friends, they'll say thank you and hang up. What are they trying to do? And by the way, you do the same thing. I don't want to get you in your head like that too much. I want you to say, oh, my soul, a few times tonight. You do the same thing. I mean, the sentence is supposed to be handed down after the trial. Not before the trial. Next number. Seeking only the negative. Look at John 11:47. Look at John 11:47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees, a council, and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. What are they doing? They're getting together, forming a plot, if you please, and only seeking the negative. Number 10, next number, our sin of wanting to find guilt. And the next number, seeking only one side. Hey, these guys could have called that fellow in John chapter 11 that his eyes were blind. And Jesus healed him. He said, what do you think about this fellow? He said, well, I don't know who he is. And Jesus said, then what's that? Whereas I was blind, now I see. They could have called blind Bartimaeus and said, what do you think? He'd said the same thing. They could have called that man in Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9, whose son was healed and saved, and the devil's cast out, and said, what do you think about this man Jesus? But they're not interested in finding out that. They're only interested in finding the fellows that hate him and try to hurt him. They're not concerned. They're just interested in the negative. What do you do when you're checking out at the grocery store and see the National Enquirer? And it says on there, Lewis Taylor having an affair with a 16-year-old boy. You look this way and that way. And take it right quick and push it down in the sack in a hurry. How are they? I wish I were there. Do you know that you can be, you can have your attitude sanctified? You can get to the place, ladies and gentlemen, where it is not fun to hear bad. You can get there. How you do it? First, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and second, practice it till it's fun. It's a little game for me. Guy said, I want to tell you something bad about so-and-so. And I said, but you're not. I bet you are. Bet you not. I like to win. He doesn't. Of course, I had already heard it anyway. But it's just as easy. Now, look. Did you know that the mob that tried Jesus wrongly? Did you know that crowd is the same way you reason? Now, I'm not talking tonight about a pastor. I'm talking about a friend at school. I'm talking about a neighbor in your community. I'm talking, okay, let me just be real mean tonight. Somebody like Miss Colston. Miss Colston is active, excitable, vociferous, dead vociferous. And because of that, sometimes people don't like Mrs. Colston. You ever notice that usually it's the person that you are not, cannot quite reach up to is the one that you like to shoot at? I happen to think that Ms. Colston is one of the finest ladies I know. I happen to think that Ms. Evans is one of the finest ladies I know. I'll defend her to the hilt. I'll defend you to the hilt. Somebody criticizes you, too. You're just on Ms. Evans' side. If you're criticizing her, yes. She's criticizing you on your side. I got a letter from one of these Pharisees, Reverend Pharisee, who wrote me in. He said, I don't want our girls coming to your cottage in the dormitories. And I shouldn't say this, but I'm so much I shouldn't say it. I say, boy. I said, that's not a, yesterday morning, I was preaching at Rock Springs, Colorado. I said, somebody said, you're going to make folks mad if you preach like this. So I said, they done mad. I got a letter from Reverend Pharisee who said, I don't want girls to come to your cottage because I don't want my girls to grow up and be like Carol Fry. I want my girls to grow up and be like Mrs. Hiles. Of course, he's trying to suck me in there, you know. He said, I want my girls to be like Mrs. Hiles. And there's nothing wrong with being like Mrs. Hiles. But of course, you couldn't be that way unless you had a wonderful husband, too. If Carol Fry had been lucky enough to get me, she'd be wonderful. Mrs. Hiles would be in charge of the dorms after that to come. But now, wait a minute. He said, that's the role model I want for our young ladies when they get married and have children. Now, wait a minute. I'll bring them back. Wait, I sent you a copy of the letter. I'll bring them back. And I said, but everybody won't get married. And those that don't get married need to be stronger than those that do. And somebody is going to have a brother with near death who has nephrosis or muscular dystrophy. And some sister's going to have to give up the normal things of life. And I happen to know that Carol Fry could have been married if she'd want to be married. She could have been married easily if she'd have settled what most she wants you to settle for. I'm not going to have a friend left in this house tonight. Not a single one. But I said, those young ladies in your church that do not marry and have a loved one that must be cared for day and night will never find a better role model than Carol Fry. And I want you to know that I appreciate those that would take Mrs. Howell as a role model, as a pastor's wife, or as a mother. But there are those that need other role models. So those of you that couldn't do what Carol Fry does, the best thing you'd do is chop her down. I'm for her. You say, you're for over me? I'm for the chop and against the chopper. That'll go down with give me liberty or give me death. You might want to say it. I'm for the chop and against the chopper. Say that. I'm for the chop and against the chopper. And you're in Bible tonight just like that. But the truth is, I guarantee you, it's the one who's looking up that's trying to bring the one down to size. Always is. I'm for the accused and against the accuser. Always am. Now, the honest truth is, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that God's people decided to quit being crooked judges. These 12 things I've given you tonight are things that most of us carelessly do, not liking somebody, listening to just one witness instead of having to have two, listening to two who are not witnesses, telling others what one witness, just one witness, tells you, having an opinion because of what one witness says, believing two witnesses, investigating without two witnesses, seeking witnesses before the two witnesses, making a decision, then seeking the transgression, seeking only the negative, wanting to find guilt, seeking only one side and judging outside of your area. There's more unjust judging that goes on inside this room right here that goes on in Hammond Courthouse, in the county courthouse. And I'm not talking about me. I'm not trying to get any, I'm not defending myself. I'm defending the neighbor next to you. I don't have time to turn to it. But do you know why they did this to Jesus? Do you want to know why they sought the witnesses? They tried to find the witnesses? You want to know why? You want to know why they decided to kill him and then sought a reason to do it? You want to know why? The Bible says, for envy. For envy. That's why, for envy. Did you ever hear anybody say, boy, there's that preacher down in Kentucky running 13 in Sunday school. That's the sorriest man in America. No. Nobody ever says that. Everybody says, boy, that's a good man. That's a sweet man. He's a good man. You know, through the years, I've had a little hard time hating anybody as my churches have grown. When I first started preaching, I could hate everybody. But our church is the largest church in America. I'm greatly handicapped. I've got to go all the way to Seoul, Korea to hate anybody. Why don't you decide to be a Christian? Why don't you decide to give your neighbor the benefit of the doubt? Why don't you decide to quit being one of those, because she's just not my type. Just not my cup of tea. That's judging. Well, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for you? You know, I take great delight in what I said about that preacher in Texas a while ago. He called me about a year ago and said, Brother Jack, I want to talk to you. He said, I'm sure you heard about me. I said, no. Well, he said, Brother Jack, I don't believe it. Why, he said, you haven't heard what happened to me? I said, no. Why, he said, man, he said, there must have been 1,000 of my folks I thought were my friends that you talked to since this happened to me. Haven't they told you? I said, no. I said, they tried to, but they didn't. And he began to cry. And he cried. He called collect. Used up $1,500 of my money crying. I take it back. He called me and I returned the call on my money. Well, it's your money, really. So it didn't bother me a great deal. I told you about the story, and I'll tell you the rest of it. When I was in the Norfolk, Virginia area, I
got in the car. I've been to that church before on two or three occasions, and now they have a new pastor. New pastor met me at the airport, a good man, by the way. And he said, Brother House, he said, before everybody tells you a bunch of lies about what happened to the former pastor, I want to tell you the truth. I said, no, you're not. He said, I'm not spreading any gossip. I'm telling the truth. And I said, I don't want to hear any bad truth. But he said, I'm going to tell you. I opened the car door, got my suitcase, took off back to the plane. Where are you going? Going back to Chicago. Didn't come to hear bad news, came to tell good news. He said, well, somebody's going to tell you how you're here. I said, you want to bet? I was there parts of 3 days. Never listened to it. I don't know to this day. But now, wait a minute. I couldn't tell what the guy did, and I don't want to know what it is. I'm not one of these guys who always try to check out who you, did you see so-and-so? What do you think about let the other guys do that. Let them. Let the smut peddlers do that. Like some of you. I got a call. No, I take it back. I was in North Carolina preaching. In Burlington, North Carolina. So I drove up as I checked in the hotel. It was this preacher. The one that had left, had to leave for some reason. I didn't know, still don't know why. He threw his arms around me and he said, I heard. Is she the best friend I got? He had not done anything that should cause him to forfeit the ministry. But he'd done something pretty bad. I talked to him that day for 2 or 3 hours. Told him what to do, how to pay his price, how to get back in the Lord's work. I said, it'll take you a couple of years. I was down in North Carolina about a year later. The fellow said to me, he said, you heard that brother so-and-so? I said, who's that? He called on the name of this man. He said, he's back in the ministry and he's preaching better than he's ever preached before in his life. He had a friend. He said, just one. That's all you really need. He had a friend. Let's decide to be just. Let's decide to pull for the innocence of our friends, our fellow workers, our family, our followers, and our leaders. It'll transform your life. Try it. You'll like it. Shall we stand, please?